Oh my, we're back downtown. Time for Message in the Bottle, brought to you every week at this time by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. Eric Meehan joining us on the telephone line. Greetings, Mr. Meehan.
I'm just about to break into the drum beat here. I can't stand this. I love, oh God. My acapella group did this.
Oh, really?
I think I sang every part over a given time, yeah. I did the do-do-do-do-do. I did the percussion. Yeah, I was past tense, a hardcore geek.
I would like to see you recreate that video sometime.
Wouldn't we all? that is, you know, what's his name? Rivers Cuomo from Weezer, I guess, kept a database on ideas on the perfect pop song, and I guess he's on a sort of lifelong journey to create that, and he got some good ones. But I listened to something like that, and I'm like, this is one of the perfect, just the most sublime pop songs ever. Great. It's just a great tune. And, you know, that was their one, right? So.
Yeah, that was pretty much it. But, you know, if you do it right the first time, you can stop.
Well, not only that, but as you mentioned, that video, I mean, you know, we're all jaded now. We've got, you know, Avatar, Way of the Water and all this sort of nonsense and, you know, Supermax 3D. But that video was like, whoa.
Definitely.
And still today, it's like, that's pretty cool. So just, yeah, it was lightning in a bottle, but so good, so good. I'm having a great day, man. That just increased my day. I'm having the best day, Rich. I'm everybody out there in downtown land, I'm happy to tell you that as of this morning's Downtown Bangor Partnership Board meeting, we've got three great new advocates fighting for downtown, people that you all know and love and respect. I am a very humbled president to be sitting there, and I think 23 is going to be big for the downtown in general. Feeling good. That's great. And then I just found out that the phyllo dough that I bought for tonight, made in New Jersey.
Oh.
Made in New Jersey.
Well, that's
so
perfect.
You know, I think we're in good shape all around. I think it's fantastic.
And I saw you and post, plus, too, that it's the birthday today of some pretty awesome people in your life.
Well, as a matter of fact, it is. And one of those awesome people, Imka, is one of the people I'm just mentioning as one of our latest board members. Yeah, man, it's some awesome people, Lizzie and also Kelly, who left us here in Maine. She was an excellent educator, went down to Tennessee. But yeah, it's my manager, Morgan, was laughing with me. I am just surrounded by amazing, amazing women who are doers and movers and shakers. And I'm just along for the ride, man, but it's so great. It's absolutely great. So I hope everybody's running into 23 feeling as good as I am. You know, God bless you if you're not. Come volunteer with one of the city organizations. Feel good about yourself. That's another easy way to head into 23 with an easy resolution to keep. The city's looking for a lot of people. So let's talk about wine. Let's talk about wine. This is again, you know, sort of the start of our calendar year. We talk about some sort of broader topics, and then we delve deeper. So today we'll talk a little bit about some misconceptions. I like to sort of hit misconceptions at this time of year, sort of break down some barriers. There's some old ones that will ring true to folks who have been longtime listeners, but there's some new stuff on the horizon, and I kind of wanted to hit that first. And we have touched this topic before, but it's, you know, I try to sort of, you know, read a bunch of articles about, you know, trends and what people are talking about. And what people are still talking about and what I wanted to address first is this idea of low-calorie wine and healthy wine. We're getting an awful lot of folks either coming in for themselves or, indeed, perhaps their partner or their parent or something like that who's, you know, been told, you know, it's okay if you want to keep drinking wine, but perhaps for whatever reason, sugar intake, simply, you know, watching your figure, whatever, you've been told, look for low-calorie wine. So I just kind of wanted just a quick refresher on what fermentation is and how that affects the calories. Because in a lot of these articles, there's it talks about how alcohol, and it doesn't just talk about wine, it talks about spirits, it talks about beer, right? Is, you know, what sort of calorie intake you can expect. But the point is that the calories that you're getting a lot of the times are coming from sugar that is in the solution, right? In whatever, in the spirit, in the wine. It's in solution. Fermentation, and this is not distilling. We're not talking about spirits right now. I'm talking about wine, but beer and mead and things fall in this category. You are having an active life form, yeast, eating sugar in a liquid-based solution, right? It's predominantly water in the case of most of these things. If you've ever seen beer made, you know that it's a bunch of grain with a ton of hot water coming in and germinating the grain and causing the sugars to be released. In the case of wine, of course, the water content of the grape is the thing, right? Et cetera, et cetera, on down the line. Mead, you're adding water and making sort of a water-based solution with honey. But basically, you have a yeast, whether it's an introduced yeast or a native yeast flying around in your cellar or whatever, and it eats the sugar and it turns out two things, alcohol and carbon dioxide. That's it. It's just the chemistry of the thing. So what I'm finding in a lot of these articles is that they're recommending, yes, indeed, some of these new lines of skinny girl, and there's one that I think some celebrities are posting and stuff like that, but a lot of the other ones are simply talking about wine where the fermentation process essentially is allowed to complete. You don't have what we call residual sugar. Or in the case of some mass-produced crappy stuff, added sugar, right? What we would normally call chapitalization, but even chapitalization is meant to ferment out. But adding sugar or leaving sugar, residual sugar in the product, and in the case of beer, of course, you have, you know, this malt, which is especially in the maltier beers, right? You're leaving sugar in solution. And spirits have sugars as well. So that's what's giving you calories predominantly. So you'll see that a lot of the recommended wines, even if they're not some of these brand names, are, you know, crisp Sauvignon Blanc. A crisp is usually a good indication, by the way. Things that are you know, thought of as refreshing, snappy, crisp, whatever you want to call it, are usually that way because the acidity is stronger than the leftover sugars or whatever like that, which tend to sort of round out the palate. So just something to bear in mind that you don't necessarily, especially if, and I hope this is true with a lot of your listeners, if the idea of buying like a brand name, low calorie, something turns you off, and it should, because in some of these cases, they're like, yeah, there's a secret process we use to like, well, I'm like, that sounds weird.
Mm.
But there are plenty of wines you can buy that are simply, by their nature, better for that situation. So if you have more questions or whatever, let's talk. You know, come on in. Do your research. Absolutely do your research as well. But it is a little misleading when you go online and it's talking about how certain alcoholic beverages are higher or lower in calories. It's not necessarily telling you that the alcohol is. It's more, again, the sugars that are really something to look at. Therefore, and this kind of leads me to another misconception that we can hit on really quick, is that sweet wines are inherently lower quality or junky. Of course, that's not true, but as I mentioned, there are some mass-produced wines that are designed for, you know, the folks who drink six Pepsis a day like I used to and you know, barbecue sauce and stuff. Yeah, but they're out there, you know, we're out there. I've pulled back, but there's people who like that, and that's fine. But do bear in mind, A, yes, they are going to be higher in calories, no matter if they're sweetened purposely or if they have residual sugar, but that there really are these wines with residual sugar. Of course, people always think of Riesling as like a sweet wine. It's not necessarily. You can certainly ferment out all the sugars and have a nice, snappy, crisp Riesling. But there are a lot of wines, especially from, you know, the Germanic areas, Alsace, things like that, that do have some sweetness to them, that are absolutely gorgeous. And of course, some of the most expensive wines on earth are these wonderful dessert wines from Bordeaux, from Germany, from the Niagara Peninsula now, places like that. So certainly you can have sweet wines of quality, but do bear in mind that it will, you know, there's sugar in them, and it might affect your diet plans and stuff like that. I bet I'm probably about out of time, aren't I?
I'd say about 2 minutes left.
Okay. The other big one that I always kind of like to hit when we talk about misconceptions is sulfites and things like that. So just really quick in the 2 minutes that I have, do be aware, the majority of good wine shops you go into, you don't even need to worry about sulfites. The wine producers that we all work with either add minuscule amounts, or in some cases these days, and in increasing cases these days, none at all. Adding none at all can and sometimes strain the viability of the ability for wines to travel. One of the reasons you add sulfites is to prevent re-fermentation, especially if there is indeed residual sugar, because if heat and residual sugar hang out with a little bit of leftover yeast in a bottle, you're going to end up with a bubbly wine that you never intended to have be bubbly, and I have seen it. But by and large, people are shipping in temperature-controlled containers. The producers know that they can basically give a very, very natural product and get it to a place like Bangor, Maine, in great shape. So my advice at this time every year is if you're concerned about sulfites, sugar, anything like that, don't buy off the supermarket shelves. Go find a good merchant. Talk to them about your concerns, and they will help you, whether it's us or not. Shop local. Treat it like something you care about, and we'll treat you like somebody we care about. There you go. That's my pitch.
That's a pretty good plan, right there.
Yeah. Everybody have a great 23. Let's do it.
I'm good with that. I get to watch some Giants playoff football. That's already a great start to the year.
I was questioning whether or not I should bring that up in light of the fact there might be some sad people listening to this. But, yeah, baby, let's go, G-Man. First time since 2016. We're due. It's the dark horse.
I actually like their chances against the Vikings.
I do, too. I mean, just a couple weeks ago, it was super close. Not to bring up painful memories, but, you know, there have been previous trips all the way where we entered, certainly not the favorites. Anyway, moving on. I'll talk to you guys all next week. I hope you'll still listen.
Thanks, Eric. We'll see you then.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Eric Meehan, Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, with Message in the Bottle every Tuesday here on Downtown.